Close your eyes, if you will, and join me in a prayer of surrender. Thank you, Lord, for creating me with intention. Search my heart so that I may live pure before you. Shape my desires, my motives, and my intentions to seek after you. Remind me that this life is meant for something greater than achieving success, gaining wealth, or accumulating likes. Forgive me when my focus falters and my dependence on you wanes. I submit to your will, God, knowing that you have planned for me a future worth having, filled with sustaining and everlasting hope. Remind me to trust that in submitting to your will, I receive your instructions and your counsel, and that your eyes and hands will be upon me. I pray each day to know you more, to know the power that raised you from the dead, and to know how you suffered because you loved me, chose me, and designed me for a life that counts. I'm so grateful for your promise that when I seek you, I will find you. I surrender my desires to you, trusting that you will straighten my path. I trust you because you gave your best for me, your only Son, Jesus. Show me your will that I might walk in your purpose for my life, just as Jesus carried out not his own will, but yours. In Jesus' name, I pray. I entitled this sermon, The Ultimate Motivator. It's going to be based on 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 7. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move without love, I would be of no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful, not proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love is more than words. It takes commitment, and it takes proper conduct. Love makes our actions and our gifts useful. Love takes effort. Are you willing to pay the price? See, God's kind of love is directed outward toward others, not inward toward ourselves. It is utterly unselfish, and this kind of love goes against our natural inclinations. It's impossible to have this love unless God helps us set aside our own natural desires so that we can love and not expect anything in return. The more we become like Jesus, the more we love and show love to others. Throughout the Bible, Jesus shows us how he obeys and loves his Heavenly Father. He shows us how he loves people. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Without hesitation, he said, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. So this famous passage about love is part of the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, which was steeped in sin and idolatry. Nothing new under the sun, is it? I like this new explanation of idolatry. Letting things take the place of God. Paul spends a good bit of time in the letter warning them about sinful actions, but he also lets them know that good moral behavior isn't at the heart of what God is after. God doesn't only care about our actions, he also cares about what motivates those actions. And because God's ultimate motive is love, he wants his people to be motivated by love too. Otherwise, we can trick ourselves into thinking we too are motivated. So otherwise, this trick, we could think we're good people when we're actually selfish people who just want to look good to others or feel good about ourselves. Billy Graham said the opposite of love isn't hate, it's selfishness. Think about that. When we make better choices than someone else, isn't it a little too easy to feel proud and arrogant? Paul says we're missing the point entirely when we act and think like that. On top of that, it's annoying, like a meaningless, noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Where do we see these kinds of loveless good deeds show up in our lives? Today. Today, may God equip us to tap in and be motivated by the great love he poured out on us through Jesus. In 1 John 4:16, we're told that God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. There's a lot of ins in that verse. And I've mentioned it several times over the last year or so. That word in is very important. Staying in a fixed position. So we need to keep love as our ultimate motivation. Love is an attitude. Paul tells us this way in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 10. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In that same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Jesus spotted a poor widow placing a couple pennies in the collection basket at the temple. Many people already had put their offerings in, far greater than the woman gave. But Jesus looked at the woman and commended her. Although the amount was small compared to everybody else, he remarked that she gave more than all the others. Her offering, as little as it was all she had. Now, as Jesus does, he looked beyond the act itself into the heart behind the act. Our attitude does matter. Do you want to show others how good you can be? Does your interest lie in impressing anyone or fulfilling obligations? Choose to do the right thing over what feels good or over what feels comfortable, whatever that may mean for you. You see, it didn't matter how much the widow gave in terms of numbers. It mattered that she gave her all because of her devotion to and her trust in God. God loves a cheerful giver. He is pleased when we devote our lives to Him out of love for Him. So worry less about how much you can do for God today. Focus more on setting your heart on Him. Give of yourself no matter what you lack, not out of compulsion, but out of desire to please the Lord. In the Lord's eyes, this poor widow gave more than all the others put together. Although her gift was small, the value of the gift is not determined by the amount, but by the spirit in which it is given. A gift given grudgingly or out of recognition loses its value. When you give, remember that gifts of any size are pleasing to God when they are given out of gratitude, when they are given out of a spirit of generosity, when they are given out of love. Love is an action word. Our attitude is more important than the amount we give. We don't have to be embarrassed if we can only give a small gift. God is concerned about how we give from the resources that we have. Now, I'm not talking just about money. Have you ever thought about tithing your time or tithing your talent for God's kingdom work? We're told many times to maximize our time and maximize our talent for God's kingdom work, and we will have everything we need. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable about a businessman going away on a trip. And he gave his employees an assignment. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent. Each according to their ability. And the man expected the employees in his absence to do something wise with which they were given. Make a prudent investment. When he returned, he was thrilled to see the man with the 5 talent gain 5 more, and the man with the 2 talents gain 2 more. But the one that had 1 talent buried it, maybe out of fear, maybe out of selfishness. But the 2 were commended. Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful over a little. I will see you have much more. So we are responsible to do the most with whatever God has given us, a little or a lot. And when we don't use the gifts, the time, the resources He has blessed us with, it's equivalent to doing this. God, I did it my way, not thy way. What has God put you in charge of? Whether much or little, are you being a faithful steward? Are you honing your gifts, sharpening your skills, leading by example? Now, when you have done something useful for God, useful for people, out of love. How does that feel? You see, natural or divine love will not remain unless it is cultivated. Love is spontaneous, but it has to be maintained through discipline. All throughout the Bible, we hear stories about God choosing to use the most unlikely people. Over the years, and especially over the last couple weeks, I thought about that a lot. What am I doing up here at the pulpit? What am I doing teaching the Bible? I didn't feel equipped. I didn't feel worthy. And then the Holy Spirit put some memories in my mind. You see, I spent 8 years in Catholic school growing up as a young man. And through that all, I'm sure the nuns taught me some good habits. And a while ago, quite some time ago, I had my 50th reunion of graduating the eighth grade. And friends looked at me and said, Leonard, they all called me Leonard back then. You're still doing that stuff? I said, what stuff? You're telling those puns. You're telling those jokes. You're telling those stories. Yes, I'm still doing them. I guess God was training me way back then to do what I'm doing now. I didn't feel worthy, but I went ahead anyhow. I remember downstairs some 25, 30 years ago, I said, Lord, I'm tired of fighting you. I want to fight for you. It was at a lay witness. And before I left the church on that weekend, I was asked to teach Sunday school. Before I left the church on that weekend, Sue and I, along with Barbara and Gilmore, volunteered to be lay witnesses and go out to other churches and witness. I remember when I told Pastor Carlson my decision, he said, you're not going anywhere, Len, until you give your witness here first. That was my first opportunity to speak in front of people. And here I am now. Moses, he felt unequipped also for the task God gave to him. In Exodus 4:2, God said to Moses, Moses, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a shepherd rod. Moses didn't feel equipped, but God had other ideas. He gave Moses the rod and he told him, you have all you need. And with that rod, Moses performed miracles. With that rod, he opened up the Red Sea. With that rod, he got water coming out of a rock. What Moses overlooked, God used to shape the course of history. Today, God is asking the same question. What is in your hand? It could be a pen. It could be a cooking utensil. I know a certain lady, as a matter of fact, I'm married to her. She does a really good job with baking, especially for the men's Bible study. I'm technologically challenged. I'm terrible with technology. But at the earlier service, Andrea filmed me doing the sermon. And when I go home, I use that phone and I text the sermon or the blogs I do every week out to roughly about 100 people. And some of them people send it out to people. That phone became a rod. So, we should not dismiss what we have. It could be a certificate. It could be a diploma. It could be something small. But don't dismiss it, no matter how small or unworthy it may seem. God is ready to use it to fulfill his purposes in our lives. God created us to serve, and God is calling on us. Let us embrace the tools God had given us so that we will be ready and willing to serve. God will transform that which we see as only a rod into something great for God's glory. The God of possibilities, thank you for the gifts you have given us. Teach us how we can see value in what you have given us and use them to serve you. Take whatever God gave you. Add love, the ultimate motivator, and do your thing. In this great orchestra we call life, you have an instrument and a song, and you owe it to God to play them both with love. Have a great day, and have a greater eternity. Amen.